Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting of Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability to order. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Althoff.
Here.
Representative Burke. Representative Davidsmeyer. Senator Kaler.
Here.
Representative Moffitt.
Here.
Representative Nekritz. Representative Riley. Senator Rose. Senator Staines. Senator Severson, Senator Trotter, Representative Eunice, seven in attendance.
Please add Senator Severson to the roll. We have a quorum present and can proceed. Co-chair Senator Trotter, any comments you want to make? The purpose of this meeting is to discuss the proposed closure of the Illinois Youth Center in Kewaunee. We will allow some time for some comments. We had a hearing with a huge crowd at Kewaunee. And please add Representative Burke to the roll. And we have some legislators that would like to comment. So with that, we would take witness comments. And it is in Senator Weaver's district. Senator, if you would come up, and if Representative Smitty would come up, and then anyone that they want to call on or perhaps refer to in their comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Smitty is going to start with some comments about the efficiency of this facility and why we feel it's appropriate to keep it open. Thank you.
Chairman Trotter, Chairman Moffitt, members of the committee, I first want to thank you for the opportunity to allow me to testify here on the importance of the Youth Center in Kewaunee. Although this institution may not be located in my district, it has an impact that would be devastating not only to Kewaunee but Henry County and the region. I've been asked to discuss a few of the economic factors that of why closing IYC Kewaunee is not appropriate for step for the Department of Juvenile Justice. Of the six facilities, Kewaunee happens to be the newest facility, which came online in 2001. When you look at the other facilities, IYC Chicago, 1999, Harrisburg, 1983, Warrenville, 1973, Pierre Marquette, 1963, and St. Charles, 1904. It also has the ability to house the most youth at the facility, and it is also the most cost-effective per inmate using apples-to-apples numbers where the facilities would be completely full, and that number is $58,000. The next closest is 71 in Harrisburg, where Warrenville and Pierre Marquette are $143,000 per resident and $131,000 per resident. So when you look at the cost factors regarding this, it is a much more cost-effective, newer facility, less costs for running the facility, not just cost per youth. And I'd like to also address some of the issues that were brought up regarding the education and the appropriate education not being able to have staffing there. And that's just simply not the case. We have four colleges and universities within that region that we can draw from that would help allow to get the right staffing there to also help with the economic development in that area, and the economic impact would be less. We have 238 employees currently that would be affected by this closure, and we would ask that you also take that into effect because they do live in all of our districts, including mine and Senator Anderson's. As the governor had stated many times, he wants to do what's best for business. Keeping IYC Kewaunee open is what's best for business because it's one of the more cost-effective facilities within DJJ. And I think they have the ability to actually offer the proper services to the youth in a more safe environment. That facility can also be broken down and used in different types of segments where you can have different youth that are there. that have differing issues. And I want to touch on one more thing before I close, because I know I have very a limited amount of time. It was also brought up at the hearing regarding regional models, such as those that are being done in Missouri. Well, if you look at a regional model, if you take out IYC Kewaunee, you're leaving over half of the state without a regional type of model. There's no up until Harrisburg, or until you get to IYC St. Charles, there is no other juvenile facilities within these areas. And when you look at a five-county radius around IYC Kewaunee, there are over 100 youth that are currently in the Department of Juvenile Justice that we could use as a regional area to help with families and the youth be together, and it would be more cost-effective for us to keep this open. I will turn it over to Senator Weaver to speak on some other things, but before I go, also, when we look at some of these other facilities, they were not built as Kewaunee was to house those that may have larger issues that need to have some confinement at some point. And we are seeing that now in St. Charles with the uptick in staff and inmate assaults on each other. And last week there was a 911 call. They had to bring in outside help due to the fact that they had a juvenile go out in the middle of the lake threatening to kill himself. So they needed help from outside law enforcement because of the open campus style that that IYC St. Charles proposes. So when we look at Kewaunee, it's a safer environment for some of these individuals. It's closer to the Dixon DOC facility as well. They house a mental health facility there that we could co-op with if we need more help for mentally ill individuals. So I will turn it over to Senator Weaver.
Thank you, Representative Schmitty. First, I want to thank all of you for being here today, and especially want to thank those of you that went up to Kewaunee. I know you were there. And you saw a great facility, and I appreciate the time you put into that. I think you heard some great discussion with regard to why that facility should stay open. I want us to think about there's three options here. There's a don't close option, there's a close option, but there's a third option. That's a transition option to Department of Corrections. And I'm going to make an ask at the end that we focus on the don't close option, and at the very least ask Department of Juvenile Justice to focus on, if they end up wanting to close for their uses, that they keep this facility running for a period of time the Department of Corrections could take it. And I'll come back to what the reasoning for that in just a moment. You know, I think everybody on both sides of the aisle is very serious about the fact we have to have criminal justice reform. But down here, I've been here 6 months, I've only heard about the piece of sentencing and who goes to prison. I've heard very little about what happens in prison and how we prepare people to avoid recidivism with them coming back to prison. And that's really what I think our best argument is with regard to what this facility is all about. I want to really dial into that piece of what we're doing wrong with people while they're in prison. We have three problems: overpopulated Department of Corrections, understaffed Department of Corrections and Department of Juvenile Justice, and then poor preparation for people to get out. I want to talk about the understaffing issue. Right now, as Representative Schmidt had mentioned, we have 238 employees in this facility. Today, Department of Juvenile Justice is short 160 employees. Department of Correction is short over 600 employees. We have a system, a very important system from a staffing perspective. You need people. You've got to have people working with this population. And yet we're about to close a facility with 238 individuals working there. So what I want us to think about is, how do we keep those 238 people available to the system?
Senator, if you'd let me just add Senator Rose to the roll.
Great, thank you.
And also acknowledge that Representative Leach has joined us in addition to Senator Anderson, our present, and I think we're going to be making comments. Go ahead.
Thank you. So we have this system drastically understaffed, drastically overpopulated. We believe this system is right for Department of Juvenile Justice, and what I'd like to do is, Gary, could you pass these out? This is just showing this regional dimension with regard to how there's no other facility in this area of the state to serve
Senator, would
kids.
You want to comment and introduce your witness there?
This is Gary Roberts. He's the Gary Bradley, the city manager from Kewaunee. Thank you, Gary. As Representative Schmidt was saying, this facility is very efficient. We were fortunate to have Director Roger Heaton out to this facility within the last month, and he came away with the same comments. The facility is one of our newest facilities. Because of that, it's very efficient from a HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning perspective. It's very efficient from a maintenance perspective. But also, with the staff that's there, it's also a very efficient facility. He's made the comment that he believes this facility is one that could transition well. He wants to have the time to look at that transition, and they're going to be getting a report about the middle of May with regard to how this could be used for Department of Corrections. If you look at how government runs, and you folks have all seen this, it's going to take time for them to get that report. It's going to take time for them to study that report and think about what they want to implement, and then it's going to take time for them to implement it. And you have all too often seen facilities that shut down, the energy goes away, and they sit there for years with nothing happening to them. We think that is the worst possible thing that could be happening in this area and across the state. This facility has to stay open while we work through this transitionary period. As we talked to Director Heaton, I think he was very pleased with a couple of things that he saw. One thing is that there is currently older inmates around the Department of Corrections system. Those need to be brought into one area. So we're talking about a hospice concept. And have a young lady here today that happens to operate a hospice facility. It has about 600 employees, Jane Doss, and I'll reference her again in a moment. We believe we could bring those individuals into one environment, give them a better end-of-life experience. And here's an interesting thing. She and I were talking about the fact that so often inmates will stay on dialysis for 6 years. Those folks would welcome an opportunity for a different way to end their life, and hospice reduce that period of time, period of 6 months, where they have more dignity during that process. That's just one thought, is that it could be used for older inmates. Director Heaton was very impressed with Black Hawk University, with the welding program they have with regard to the possibility for training in the facility. We've also had Aaron Tennant, who is a one of the larger semi-truck operators in the state, has about 300 employees, and he called me within the last 24 hours and said, Chuck, we would love to hire people out of this facility if we can get a training program in there to work with those people. So you have welding as an opportunity, you have truck driving as an opportunity, and Ms. Doss, just going back to her, she has currently hired individuals that are out of the system and believes there's opportunities for that, and specifically chore workers. So a concept of using this as a hospice facility, training people in that environment, and then hiring them coming out. And she, of course, has 600 employees, understands the importance of protecting yourself from a liability perspective, how she'll screen and how she'll train. So we feel there's great opportunities for things to happen with regard to how we're going to train people, and then people in the area, they're going to be happy to hire these folks and get them back into the workforce. And I think from a criminal justice perspective, that's something we've been drastically short on. But just in closing, we would make a request that the Department of Juvenile Justice keep this open. They review whether or not they made the right decision with regard to the efficiency of this system, and we believe that this building in particular is one of the most efficient that they have to operate. And in the event they decide they can't operate it, we would like them to keep it open through a transitionary period, get rid of the silos between the Department of Juvenile Justice, Department of Corrections, keep these 238 people employed, reduce our staffing problems, possibly use this Department of Corrections facility. So we're open to questions and really appreciate you listening to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Any quick questions? And we're going to allow we want to move as efficiently as possible, but yet anyone else that has comments will certainly. Yes, Senator Althoff.
I don't have a number of that, but out of 45,000 inmates, a number that are in there for life, we believe there's this facility currently could house 300, could go up to 600.
Senator Anderson, did you want to make some quick, any other questions for the two that have spoken? If not, Senator Anderson, if you had some comments, you want Representative Leach, Pavel, if you want to make any comments. And I would just say a follow-up to Representative Smitty. You were talking about it being the second most efficient, the second least cost. The governor is always talking about running things like a business, good outcomes. That frees up more money to provide better services for these students, doesn't it?
It does, and if you would look at the facilities fully at full capacity, it's actually the most efficient of any facility in IYC.
Thank you. Senator Anderson. Representative Nekritz.
So, Representative Smitty, I appreciate your statement about the efficiency at full capacity, but the fact is that DJJ is not at full capacity and is not going to be at full capacity given the criminal justice reforms and the changes that are going on. So what I don't understand the number that – can you explain that number a little bit better for me?
Basically to compare apples to apples, because right now the way they've done Kewanee is they've been taking the inmates out of there preparing for the closure. So the cost per inmate will be inflated because of those numbers. So if you want to break it down in real numbers at all facilities and look at them, you know, apples to apples, it is the most effective. It is still very effective with the amount of inmates that it still has in there. It's actually the second most effective in the state, still with the minimal inmates that they have. But if you just have it at all capacity, you really see the effects. And if you're going to close a facility, this one does not make sense to close, because if you're wanting to put more inmates in a regional area, it is more cost effective to do it there than in say one that costs you $143,000 per inmate.
So here's what I'm just wrestling with based on those numbers is that you've. I'm guessing that comparing apple to apples, you're saying that all those facilities would be at full capacity.
Yes.
But none of them are going to be at full capacity.
But when you look at the breakdowns now, there's IYC Kewanee is still the second most effective next to St. Charles because of the minimal population that they currently have. They are still more effective than all the other facilities except for St. Charles at the population base that we have now.
And I believe Senator Weaver testified that we're 160-something short-staffed at Kewanee. Would that number...
No, that's juvenile justice overall.
Overall? Okay.
Yes.
And so would you, if you would, does your apples-to-apples comparison bump all the full, make this, as if the staffing were the full level that you would say that it needs to be?
Yes, with these numbers. And the other thing that you have to look at now, if we want to, if it goes over to DOC as well, and these currently these individuals would be able to go over to DOC, but because of the collective bargaining agreement, since they do not have one through, they're waiting for the decision with the labor board, if they do their last best final offer, In that decree, the last best final offer, IDJJ would not be able to transfer over to DOC at all. So all these staffers would not be able to go to any of the DOC facilities within that within the radius of where Kewanee is located. And as you know, DOC has a 600 staffing shortage of 600, and we have Dixon, Galesburg, East Moline within that area that they could go to, and Hill and Galesburg, and all of them are also short-staffed, where they would be able to go within a region where they're at currently, instead of losing the population in these communities.
Thank you.
One other question here, Senator Severson.
Thank you, Senator Weaver and Senator Anderson. We've talked about this before. I'm intrigued about your concept of the geriatric prison idea. This has been something that has been talked before, that we have the passage of life means life. We have estimated, I believe, somewhere between 250 to 300 that would be considered significant health anomalies, whether it's Parkinson's or paralysis, Alzheimer's, the position where they are necessarily any threat, but they're more expensive to care when you're in all these different locations throughout the state. And many times you have to take those individuals out of each facility, transport them to medical care, sometimes daily, and then bringing them back to those facilities. And the idea of economy of scale of putting those into one location, especially a newer facility, putting them into a location like that where you could provide more cost-effective care could be a significant solution. I really like that because I think overall that's going to help with the overcrowdedness of our current prisons. It's going to help save money, and it's going to allow us to help spur any real economic downturn for what you're looking at. So I appreciate that that idea. I think that's really good. Has that been discussed with the department at all, and have you had any feedback from them?
Yes, and you said one interesting thing there. First, yes, the department has discussed, and they do have some interest in that. But the other thing you said is this has been discussed for a long time. And what I found out last Thursday is we make decisions around here when we're really faced with serious issues, right? I would like to use this as an opportunity to drive us to solution quickly. And I think our way to do that is to say we have got this staff of employees there that would be prepared to handle a Department of Corrections group coming in, inmates coming in. This is a chance to do that. And we would like to first not see it close Department of Juvenile Justice, and that we'd like that to be a recommendation. But in the event you make that recommendation, Department of Juvenile Justice doesn't go with that recommendation. We would ask that a real strong recommendation is they keep this facility operating until Department of Corrections can repopulate that facility.
But it's clear in this case that because we have too many beds under the juvenile system, that something has to be done. And possibly the idea of taking a newer facility where there is qualified
ADA
staffing
compliant, correct.
And compliance, that this may be really a blessing in disguise, that we have to close something. And if we closed one of the older prisons, one of the older youth facilities, the cost to rehab that into a adult facility may not make sense, where yours could be just the answer. So while I know that's not your first choice, this really could be an overall systemic solution to the problem that we're facing. So I hope we can continue to push the department on this concept. I don't think it would be hard to implement, and I think we could see savings right away from doing that. So certainly I'll be more than happy to support the initiative that you and Senator Anderson are pursuing with this, and I think it's something that the state of Illinois would think is a brilliant idea. So appreciate you bringing that to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Would you please add Representative Davidsmeyer to the roll, and Senator Anderson next, followed by Senator Kaler, and Representative Leach. Will you like to make some comments? Okay, so Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys being here today. I just kind of wanted to take a second to reiterate what Senator Weaver and Representative Smitty were alluding to earlier. Number one, I think what has to come out of this hearing is the understanding that logistically, economically, whether we close it as DJJ and open it up as a parallel path to DOC, that has to be one of the options, either keep it DJJ or have a parallel path to push it to DOC. It makes no sense whatsoever, despite how you look at this, to simply close it down. In logistics and efficiency. One of the things that I wanted to bring up that I don't think has been brought up before as far as it being a DJJ facility, this is, again, the most efficient DJJ facility we have in the state of the six. And also, I want you to keep this in mind, that of the six DJJ facilities that we do have in this state, we own five of them, Kewaunee being one of them. One in Chicago we do not own. We actually lease it for $1.4 million a year. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind when you make this decision about to close, number one, the most efficient one, but one that we have and own rather than one that we are renting on a yearly basis. Going forward, I agree with Senator Weaver that this and as Senator Severson alluded to, this can be something that we can transition to and make this work. There are arguments on both sides for closing this DJJ facility and opening it up as a DOC facility, but there are no arguments here, and you will hear none because it makes no sense to simply close it.
Thank you, Senator. We have two other legislators seeking recognition. Before that, there's been a request to allow time for a motion and open the roll, and discussion will continue. There a motion that what Senator Trotter?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chairman. The motion is to accept the recommendation for the closure of the Illinois Youth Center at Kewanee. Pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act 30 ILLCS 608, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of the Illinois Youth Center in Kewanee, I move that the Commission on Government Forecast and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice regarding the Illinois Youth Center in Kewanee.
This is motion is being made to accommodate some schedules of members that have to leave. I hope everyone that can will stay so we can continue to hear testimony. Is there a second? Representative Neckrit seconded. Been moved and seconded. So that's on the floor. It's open roll. Senator Staines. Senator Staines votes yes for that motion. Senator Rose, a question on. Thank you, and appreciate that, Senator Rose. I'm just responding to requests. We also have a question. Will the department, do we have representatives of DJJ and DOC here? Only DJJ. You will have an opportunity to speak. Senator Rose, you're... Right. They were absent in Kewanee at the public hearing, too. It will be nice to hear from them. Senator Anderson.
I just want to make a quick statement on what Senator Rose just said. Keep in mind, when you guys do cast your vote today, of the precedence that has been set in the past of closing a facility and with the intent of opening up as another facility in the past, the precedent has been set that does not happen. So keep that in mind when you cast your votes today.
Senator Kaler's been seeking recognition, followed by Representative Leach.
So the right move for us to make, and Senator Weaver, that's a very intriguing idea, and I support you in pursuit of that. The correct vote at this point is no, right, to not close it, so that the discussions can continue, and that's how I vote. I need to leave for another.
Thank you, and thank you for being here, and Cindy. Representative Leach.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your important testimony here. Those of us who attended that five-hour meeting in Kewanee learned a great deal, and you've already expressed a number of the important reasons to leave Kewanee open or retain it in some important capacity. I think what has not been emphasized enough is I have not, perhaps you have, if you have, please share with us, what is the plan for these individuals who are there now? As many of us know, when we've seen closures before, it's been ready, aim, close, and then now what do you do with the people who are in those facilities. And I think since the facility is there in and of itself to help troubled young people, that we should thoroughly understand individual instances, individual cases of what is going to be the proposed treatment and location of every one of those youngsters who's there. Because absent that, I think we're looking at an economic decision to close this without considering the individuals whom we're all supposed to be serving.
Thank you, Representative Leach. I want to acknowledge a couple more people. Dr. Betty Truitt, president of Blackhawk College, is with us today. Dr. Truitt, thank you for being here. And the college is important to any training that will occur. I would also like to acknowledge Mayor Steve Looney, mayor of Kewaunee. Thank you for being here. You've already referenced Jan Doss, who's a major employer in the area, to talk about opportunities really for youth to get some meaningful training and have jobs waiting when they get out. With that, any other questions from members of the of COGFA? DJJ, it's been requested DJJ make some comments, and I'll make a quick closing before we vote.
Good morning. It's good to see many. And I want to respond to questions. But
and for the record, would you?
Candace Jones, I'm the director of the Department of Juvenile Justice. I want to read something. There have been a lot of testimony, as you all know, a lot of comments. Many of you have seen there's a packet of organizations about 18 closure from the American Civil Liberties Union, who's suing us, to some of the universities in the state. One of the national monitors that's monitoring our progress sent some notes. There's been a lot of conversation about this, I think. I've seen it. I'm sure many of you have seen it. One of the things that I saw actually that was resonated for me was something written by Peter Bensinger in response to one of the op-eds. Peter Bensinger, as some of you may know, was the director of the Department of Corrections for 3 years in the state of Illinois from 1970 to 1973. He then went on to run the U.S. Department of Drug Enforcement, the DEA. So he's a law enforcement guy. I don't know him personally. I've never met him. But he sort of benevolently decided to weigh in on the closure proposal. And these were his thoughts, which maybe because we have shared a similar position, really resonated with me. And instead of writing new comments, which usually actually the team does, and then I read, I decided to read his. Hoy McConnell and Tasha Green Cruzek's commentary in Thursday's Chicago Tribune on closing Kewaunee Youth Prison raises an important question. Where should Illinois correctional facilities be located, and what should be the criteria? Having served as chairman of the Illinois Youth Commission and as director of the Illinois Department of Corrections, I have an opinion. Correctional facilities, including youth facilities, should be located as follows. 1, close to their family. 2, near educational services, community and four-year colleges that could provide educators, mentors, and tutors. 3, near professional mental health resources where counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists are likely to be available. 4, where staff will reflect diversity and stability, and where outside private and pastoral services are located. 5, with reasonable access to private and public transportation. 6, near future job and or training opportunities. Unfortunately, he goes on, going back centuries, prisons have not been located based on these criteria, but all too often on where key officials live and arrange jobs for their constituents. The objective is not to provide for officials, but rather for offenders, he says, I would say youth in my case, to have the best opportunity to remain crime-free once they're released from prison, or youth detention facility. I have 1,000 beds in my system and 420 kids. I need to provide for those kids because we also have a resource problem in this state. And I cannot unlock those resources because we'd rather pay them in salaries. We should close this prison.
Senator Severson.
Thank you. I don't disagree with the statements that he made. The problem is then, I guess what he's saying is that there are no youth offenders that are outside Cook County. And I think there is. So when we talk about being close to family, what about the offenders that are in the Quad Cities? What about the offenders that are in Freeport? What about the offenders that are on all of northern and central Illinois? Shouldn't it be close to their families as well? And shouldn't there be, isn't there education and job opportunities in those locations as well? So I think no one disagrees with the fact that there should be a closure, but I think the, and I'm going to support the closure, but I think that argument is ridiculous argument to say that there are no youth offenders outside of Chicago. That's just not right.
Of the youth that we have currently in Kewaunee, if you cast a net out 7 counties, Bureau, Henry, Knox, Mercer, Rock Island, Stark, Whiteside, 4 of the youth that are currently in our custody in Kewaunee, of the 63 youth we have there, are from that 7-county jurisdiction.
And how the many reason youth, how many youth are the other how many youth are in the other camps are from central and western Illinois?
So I'll go on. If you cast a net out to 18 counties, the 7 I just included, and then you include Fulton, Hancock, Henderson, Knox, Lee. The reason I start with the 7 is because there's no question that the closest jurisdiction is to Kewaunee. Once you cast the net out 18, I think you could argue that between St. Charles or some of our other regions, it's not sort of you could do one or the other, but I'll cast out both. 9 of the youth currently in our custody at Kewaunee are there.
But what about
it's
the other
a 354 bed.
Of the 400, how many are from western and central Illinois?
About 10% of our youth on an annual commit, so that means on any given day, are from that northern region, this 18-county region. And
about
that's consistent
40.
With what exactly?
About 40 in your total system
exactly.
Are from that. So
right.
Of the 40, so of the 400, 360 are from the Chicago area then?
50% of our kids at any given day are from Cook.
So Cook County?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, all right, so then out, so you're saying that in all of northwestern Illinois, so this whole area here, currently you have approximately 40 that are in the total system are from that area.
Exactly. 10% of our youth on any given day are from that region, that 18-county region of the state. Really, some of them, if you get to the outskirts of those counties, could be closer to another facility, but really within that region. So that means we're running on average about 40. It's a 354-bed facility that was built. When we built it as a state, we did not build it to be a youth facility. We built it to be an adult facility. We opened and made it a juvenile facility. We do not even, if we took all the youth in the state from that region and put them there, we would still be running a 354-bed facility with about 40 youth. And the reason we don't want to put all the youth from a surrounding community there is because we ran it specifically to deal with JSOs, max security, and high-needs mental health youth. That means if a youth comes into us and really what they have is a delinquency and just needs intensive programming, we run a very good facility at Pier Marquette or at Harrisburg, strong schools, better intervention. Those youth should benefit from our strongest programming first, and we don't have that. A lot of things I'm hearing is efficiency, which to me means we're conflating cost economies of scale with efficiency, right? One of the reasons why the cost is cheaper is because we don't have all the staff that we need, and so we've depopulated so that we can have the youth movement so that they're not suffering. But it's not that we've been able to draw what we need to be able to run a really good program there. I would be supportive of spending the money to hire more individuals, which would drive up that cost.
You raise a good point. Obviously, with the need to have some closures of one or maybe two facilities, Have there been discussions? You heard early discussions about transitioning the facility. Yeah. Have you had discussions with the corrections at all on that as a option? Are there any serious discussions? They're not here today, but have you had discussions with them?
We've had discussions. We made ourselves available. My entire team hosted tours, provided information. We provided a lot of information about, you know, I'm always clear that I can't opine on what DOC should do, but we're going to provide what worked for us and what didn't. One thing I think for this body to keep in the back of mind, DOC has a lot of, they certainly have some bed space capacity needs. How they use any available bed space will be critically important. If one of the things we have said, and we have said consistently, that we have had some trouble hiring skilled labor, looking at the type of individuals that end up in Kewaunee and their need will be important about setting any institution up for success. The state has also, because I think it's always so important to look at what we've done, we have tried serving a geriatric population in that region before, and I think it's telling whether or not we succeeded in that instance. Whether or not they could use the bed space capacity, I think what DOC is trying to do is be thoughtful about that. Similarly, DOC did propose before when we closed IYC Joliet to look at that space, and they have been proposing in their budget to be able to reopen that space and have spent investments in doing so. So it's not that we've had a situation before where they haven't looked to repurpose and actually gone after that.
And so has corrections come and toured that facility? And
several times.
That in the recent times since some of these discussions are going on? So
since the announcement.
Okay, so there is, at least we can believe that there's at least they're being sincere when they're saying that they are looking at that as a option.
Everyone's being sincere. I think what they're trying to do is just be deliberate about doing an analysis.
And one last question regarding the staffing issue is, we talk about the ability of staffing. We're talking about the ability of having qualified staff with the right degrees, which will be different from an adult facility versus a juvenile. So we're not saying that there's a problem as an adult or a geriatric facility, that staffing would be a problem at that location?
We have different degree requirements, as you know, as DOC. They, for their minimum staff requirement, only require a high school diploma where we have to have a four-year college degree. We also, though, have had problems bringing on the types of mental health and treatment staff that we would need. I am going to leave it to DOC and the administration to opine on what they think is best suited for their needs. But I think what I'm saying is that we have had trouble layering on certain types of skilled labor that we have needed to be able to run in our instance in working in that region, which I think everybody should just have in back of mind.
I appreciate your answers. And again, I know you can't speak for corrections, and I wish they were here with the discussions we've had. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Two people have to leave very soon. Director Jones and Senator Trotter, if you want to chair, I want to ask some questions of the director or comment.
Certainly.
Director, it's been troubling to me on terms of recruiting staff. You know, we checked where you had been recruiting and things. One time it was at Black Hawk, but you were looking for bachelor's degrees. The lack of diversity you referred to, and yet it's 20 to 30 miles from the Quad Cities, Peoria, very diverse communities. The community would help make that more diverse if only the request would be made. You know, we share your concern with the objective of the best possible delivery of service to the youth that are held there. But it would have been helpful if we could have seen more effort. I'm speaking for myself. Of DJJ, perhaps before you became director, of making that a diverse population and the educated population that you were, in terms of staff that you're looking for. When you read the comment of a former director concerned that the facility should have good transportation, Amtrak served near an interstate, educational training available, community college there, treatment staff, with a little effort, the treatment staff would be available, diversity, and employment opportunities. The letter you read was describing Kewaunee, the newest facility in the system. So I think we need to look at it and to know that we have some concerns. So with that, We have a couple of people have to leave, but if you go ahead and
yes, you, yes, thank you very much. I will be voting aye on this motion, but we have
I just want to say that I come from a community where a facility was closed and there was no plan and there still is no plan, and that is why I will be voting no today. Not because I don't think that we need to do something with within the juvenile facility, but I just don't see that there is a plan in motion to do something with that facility. And we've got facilities all around the state of Illinois that are just sitting there, dilapidated, falling apart, and we've still got no plan for those facilities. So until I see a plan for this facility, I will be a no on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davis-Meyer. Representative Burke.
I'll echo the comments of Representative Davis-Meyer and vote no.
Thank you very much. I'm going to turn the mic back over. However, I would be voting yes on the closure. I mean, there are a lot of questions here that have to be answered. But the number one is how we treat those that are in our custody in this case or in our care. So for the betterment of the youth, the youth that is under your control and under your auspices, I'll vote yes.
And you have to leave now, is that correct?
Yes, back in as co-chairman. Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, co-chair. Anyone else seeking recognition? Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and welcome, Director Jones. Obviously there's some concern that you went to a community college to look for people that you require for that have four-year degrees. Are there other efforts that you've undergone to try to find four-year degreed staff?
We have. So one of the things I think is usually, and when you look at our other facilities, we've done none of that, right? Our recruiting effort is that when we have a job, we post the job, allow equal access to the state jobs, because it's not that the state allows us to have sort of a specific recruiting pool of resources, right? And we usually get and draw the applicants that we need to be able to hire an individual. We were noticing that we weren't getting still the draw that we needed. So what we would do is go, and sometimes even, you know, if you have to pay a recruiting fee, to go to some of the community colleges to basically redouble our efforts in Kewaunee. We also did something that we hadn't done, which is usually we just host large screenings in a region. But because we weren't getting what we needed, we hosted a specific screening at Kewaunee to see if we went local, we could draw more candidates. And we still weren't getting the yield. But what's interesting for us in that jurisdiction is that it's not that we were making these similar recruiting efforts in other jurisdictions and getting it. It was that we didn't even need to do it in other jurisdictions and would get what we needed. And even after doubling down these efforts, we still weren't ultimately getting what we needed.
And can you describe the screening process for me? I'm not sure I know what you mean by that.
What we would do when we have a set of jobs, there are two ways that you can come into employ. One is that we would host screenings for certain line security staff or certain staff that do post-release supervision. We get usually a pool of applicants after a posting. We review it, do a cut, bring them in. They do a day of screenings, which is some examinations, physical and otherwise, and then we put together a class. The other way you come into employ is if you're looking for counseling jobs, teaching jobs, other types of jobs, you actually come to state employ through the CMS process, which is we post a job online, the applications are graded and screened, a packet of individuals are sent to us, and based on that, we host sort of structured interviews to be able to hire. So those are really the two avenues to come into the agency, and that's the difference. Those normal two, and this is sort of pretty standard throughout the state except for probably the security process, unless you're a DOC or an ISP and you do a similar thing. But those two avenues usually allow most state employees to come into working for the state without, and I mean, we don't have, and everybody sees this in appropriation, advertising budgets or recruiting budgets, sort of additional to a private firm. We do this posting process, and that's how we draw our candidates. But when we saw that that wasn't happening, and because we needed them, because we were being sued, we were trying to see if we could do at some cost, but not at extraordinary cost, some different efforts locally there to be able to pull more folks in.
So why go to a, I mean, if you're looking for four-year degree people, why go to a community college?
One of the reasons is because a lot of times those programs have like a criminal justice degree program, people who are showing some interest. And even though a community college is hosting a workforce development opportunity, it doesn't mean that the only people that will show up there will be from the college. Usually it will be people who are job hunting in the region who are signing up for job hunting opportunities. And so we just want to be where those people, it's just like going to the Workforce Development Board, which is another thing we did locally. We want to be wherever the people who are looking for jobs are showing up for jobs.
So let me move for a second to the plan for the youth that remain at Kewaunee.
Yeah.
What are there, yes, you have thoughts on how you're going to manage those populations?
Yeah.
Because I don't disagree with Representative Leach that in some ways we did the ready, aim, close process earlier. You know, that was probably under a different administration.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have, you know, he would have probably felt differently about how the
right,
ready, aim, close process worked under that administration, right, rather than this administration.
We talked about it at the COGFA hearing. One of the things that's happening, we have 60, and youth are walking down, right? We have 60 kids left in Kewaunee now, 63 to be exact, and we talked about this. We aren't dealing with hundreds of people. Unfortunately, we're dealing with not a large group of, which we think is a good thing, not a large group of youth. And what's going to happen, and we talked about this at the time, is that most of those youth are actually going to reach their date of release of parole to go before the board to be paroled out before the closure, right? And that's what's happening. That's why it's not that we are taking youth out and transferring them. It's actually just that at each parole date, the population of youth is walking down. So by the time we get to the closure date, what we're actually going to be transitioning is about 33 youth. And we talk, the reason, so it's not sort of a problem of large numbers. 24 of those youth will be JSOs, and because Kewaunee is our only JSO program in the state, what we've done is identify another facility, IYC Harrisburg, I said this at the COGFA hearing, that's going to take our juvenile sex offender population. We've selected it. It was previously designated maximum secure, but it was also previously designated as a JSO program. Their superintendent was formerly assistant superintendent in an adult facility that managed a sex offender population. And so they're working now and planning to transition those youth, the balance of which are about six maximum security youth that are all principally from Cook County and will transition back to St. Charles. So pretty small population of youth to move. Another reason why we haven't published a massive plan is basically because we're trying to follow the State Facility Closures Act law, which actually explicitly states that we're supposed to announce to COGFA, give 30 days, submit the memorandum and respond to questions, and not take any substantive steps that signal to the world we're moving towards closures until the 50-day period, which with this board deliberates. So it's sort of like, we are actually just trying to comply with the law as written, and what we did was also codify that law into AD. So we are holding on releasing any other large packages or statements in compliance with that law. But we talked through specifically at the COGFA hearings and are happy to do it now, the movement of those 30 or so youth that are left.
Do you have any response to the story that Representative Smitty told about unfortunately mentally ill youth at St. Charles?
We had a suicide attempt at St. Charles. We actually have suicide attempts, unfortunately, because the youth in our custody have mental health issues. We've had a sort of uptick both of information leaks and incidents at St. Charles in particular since the announcement of closure, which is something that we're managing overall. But the reality is that the concern for our system, and one thing I've discussed with the administration a lot, is sort of this is one of the reasons why this larger facility model we actually think is concerning, because institutions that you seldom hear about are the ones, you know, everybody's calling them inefficient, Warrenville, Pier Marquette, Harrisburg. They have these great programming strengths, right? We're paying more money for this great staff. We have this stronger, but you don't hear about them absolutely. And unfortunately, when it comes to closure, they're the first things on the chopping block because we want to fight for this larger model that nationally so many folks have moved away from. It's one of the reasons why we're actually celebrating the fact that we have smaller populations of youth overall, because when they have all these issues, then you can intensify your programming and supports of them.
Does St. Charles is a community, very much a community-based model. When we tried to close St. Charles, I went there, and I apologize that I had to miss the hearing in Kewaunee. Yeah. I've probably been to more of these hearings than anybody else sitting up here right now, except maybe Senator Severson, who did a lot of those as well. So can St. Charles manage, do you have, like, for those maximum security?
If you would excuse me one moment, Senator Severson needs to leave and wants to vote. He votes aye for the motion. Thank you. Go ahead.
Can St. Charles manage those, the half a dozen or so maximum security?
They're going to take 60. They actually do have maximum security youth now. So the interesting thing is, while a institution like Kewaunee is designated maximum security, it doesn't mean it's the only place that has maximum security youth, right? Warrenville has maximum security girls. St. Charles has the maximum security youth. Harrisburg holds maximum security youth. And that's one of the reasons why, because our populations are so small, we're talking about six youth. They can handle that transition. But overall, what we're doing is, and you'll see it in our transition to facility statewide, which is fanning youth out so that they're just smaller groups of them overall. So while we used to, at Harrisburg and St. Charles, have multi-hundreds of youth, they both now are teetering around 100, just because overall, once we get to the place where we have enough administrative staff and staff generally to actually know what's going on, we think we can intervene better.
And I am sensitive to the fact that when you look at the map, that doesn't look very regional, mm-hmm. regionally based models. Thoughts on?
I do. I think as we sort of back out of the large facility model, that'll free up our investment to be able to invest in both in facilities, but also community-based programming, which is a stronger map of the state. So really, we're having smaller youth, but we can't just have. A small regional model is not a 354-bed. It's having some of those resources available to be able to say maybe we should be running 20-bed facilities, you know, in different regions of the state that actually reflect what we know now is a good model.
And do you think there's a commitment from the administration to leave this money in DJJ so you can do what you want?
One of the things that you're seeing in our budget is while there's a reduction overall, what you're seeing is increase both for us to still be able to hire the staff, both for us to be able to get community college contracts and bring some of those post-secondary opportunities online. You saw it in last year's introduced budget, even before the announcement of closure. The resources that we need to sort of bring ourselves into compliance programmatically, we have been getting. I think long-term, no one's saying that every dime saved will get back, but I do think we're seeing a real commitment to get what we're asking for to be able to strengthen our programs.
Okay. I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And Director, if there are any more questions, I would just like to point out that the superintendent that's there now, and you can react, I want to make sure you agree, the superintendent there now has gotten very high marks by the department, by the students.
Yeah.
One of the times when I toured, some of the students said, why are you thinking about closing this? We now have a superintendent who's really helping us. And the most recent John Howard report gave greatly improved comments for the facility. So many of those things in the past that may have been a problem have been addressed. And I think that's to your credit. The superintendent seems to have really turned that place around.
He's great.
And
we
when
hired
you hear
him.
From the students there say, you know, come up. He came up and said to a couple of them, why would you be thinking about closing this? I thought that was a real good witness that things are being done right there now.
He's a great, we hired him, right? There's no question about it. In the executive team and the superintendents, we're hiring people who both understand and do the work. And we're not trying to, the goal is not to make the youth suffer in transition. But, you know, you're right. John Howard has said they've seen improvements. They also still submitted their support and closure.
But they're not singling out Kewaunee in my discussions with them. I think if any one of these was up for closure, they would be there to support the closure, was the way they said, you know, the slogan is, educate, don't incarcerate, and they hear more. We're going to have a certain number. It's a number less than we have now in terms of bed space. But they're supporting the concept. Their discussion with me that night in Kewaunee was they support the concept of fewer facilities. I think if any of the others would have been first, they would have been there for that too.
They submitted a letter. John Howard can speak for themselves. They certainly have been around in the state long enough, and I think they could distinguish from a general closure campaign to actually single. They have consistently and still in this process supported the closure of Kewaunee. And they were specific about that. They submit a letter to each one of you individually.
They made it clear to me that they would support other closures too. They weren't singling it out. It was just their comment to me. Senator Weaver.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. I have respect for you, and
you
brought professionalism to the situation. And this young lady inherited a wreck for a system, and that's part of the dilemma we're in today. And the gentleman we have there as a superintendent today is fantastic. She takes responsibility for that. If that gentleman would have been there 5 years ago, I think some of our hiring issues would have been different. So that's one thing we have to think about, because I do not want anyone walking away thinking we cannot hire good people in this community because we can. And specifically, we have to all learn CMS is a problem with regard to hiring, because we both heard horror stories with regard to people that were brought to you that were capable for these jobs, and over the period of time it took to get them hired, they found other jobs. So there are people in this. So I wanted to leave that message. I want to close with this. Your decision is not binding, but your decision is influential. And this no to closure is critical. I'm going to continue to advocate for DOC going in there in the event DJJ leaves. I need your vote against closure for this reason. We've got to send a very clear message. It's not about the facility, because it's one of the best facilities. It's not about the staff, because we've got have people standing there ready to work. And it's not about the surrounding area that is willing to step up and try to employ these people. So I understand everything you've said. I respect everything you've said. But I still want a no vote. She's going to do what she believes is right. I need a message in the community that this facility should be switched over, and I appreciate your help on that.
Anyone else seeking to make comments? Clerk will continue to call the roll.
I will thank you. I will also commit to continue to work with you and try and find a use. The facility is new, it's efficient, it's counterintuitive not to find a better use for it, but I do support the department. I think what they're doing is in the best interest of those individuals who are incarcerated at that facility, so I will be voting yes.
I vote no on the motion.
So these are always very difficult matters and painful, and I appreciate the mayor and the manager being here, because I understand the impact that this has in communities. But the fact remains that, as you indicated, Senator, you know, that we have mismanaged, and these agencies for a while, and we have probably not located these facilities in ways that actually serve the residents of the state of Illinois. We've located them on a political basis. And so in an effort to try to restructure and make sure that moving forward we are trying to make decisions that make the most sense for criminal justice and not in the service of criminal justice, you know, we have to make some very difficult decisions, and I have tried to be a voice for those very difficult decisions in the past, and I'm going to try to continue to be. So for that reason, for those reasons, I'm going to vote yes.
On a vote of 5 yes, 6 no, the motion to accept the recommendation of closure of the Illinois Youth Center at Kewaunee fails. Anyone else have anything? There being no other business, then this meeting of COGFA will be adjourned.